Welcome to the Crew MPD podcast. We love that the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. We are driven to equip and inspire Christian workers to be Christ-centered, fully funded, and financially faithful so that missionary staff come alongside all people to help them to know Jesus. This process is more widely known as Ministry Partner Development, or MPD for short. David Lowry, welcome to the Crew MPD podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing really well. Thank you so much for having me. I feel blessed and honored to be asked to be part of this.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to have you on here for a long time. I have worked with you. Like, we were on a coaching team together for a lot of years, and I just appreciate you and your leadership and the way you coach. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to have you talk to our audience today and share some of your thoughts. So
awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah. So David, first introduce yourself to our community here. Tell us, you know, the basics and maybe even a little bit of how you got into MPD coaching. That story's a good one, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So starts back at Ball State. I met my wonderful wife, Sarah Lowry, there. Many of you probably have heard of her, met her. She's absolutely wonderful. But we, God used that as an intense time of spiritual growth while we were in college. And so we decided to join staff with Crew and did two intern years, one at Ball State, one in East Asia, and then came back to Ball State for about 5 years, where we were on campus, really loved campus ministry things. And one of my favorite things to do on campus was disciple men. And I just loved getting into the word with them. I loved seeing changed lives and changed hearts as the Lord gained more and more territory in their lives. And it was really exciting to see that growth. But there's some really compelling things about MPD. Sarah and I really, for the most part, enjoyed the MPD process when we joined staff. We were not people who hated MPD, and that was, you know, taking us kicking and screaming to do MPD. We resonated with that, and I think have some giftings and in terms of administration and thinking through MPD. And so joined the MPD team about 5 years ago. Sarah followed the year after because I just had nothing but great things to say about the leadership and the people that I was coaching alongside of. And so Sarah and I have both been MPD coaches for about 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. And you guys bring a lot of joy to our coaching community and a lot of, like you said, you guys both have some administrative giftings. And then you also, I think, have such a heart for shepherding people in the word. I mean, you're in seminary now just to refine that gift. I don't know if you want to maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm wrapping up the long, long journey of being full-time with Crew, but doing part-time seminary work. And so that's to do a full Master's of Divinity degree takes about 6 years. So this fall will be year six. I'll be going a little bit past that to finish the degree, but it has just solidified my love for learning, love for the word, especially, and thinking about how we can take the word and apply it, in healthy, correct ways in ministry.
Hmm. Yeah, I can appreciate even that caveat there, because I think we've all experienced versus taken out of context or kind of the Band-Aid added to a difficult situation, something that's true because it's God's word, but it's maybe not the most helpful in the moment. I definitely appreciate that you qualify it like that. But maybe that's a good segue to hear more about how do you handle encouraging staff in the word with MPD, and maybe even speak specifically to the just handling it really correctly and with that kind of integrity that we're insinuating.
Well, yeah, one of the things I've been thinking as I was processing through some of these questions was, yes, I've had excellent training at seminary, at Reformed Theological Seminary, and yet all of the Crew courses that I have taken have just been top notch. And so if you've been taking your Crew classes, your biblical interpretation, biblical communication, these classes are phenomenal. And so as we're going to the word, thinking through specifically, yes, there's an original audience, there's an author, but in some of those crew classes, thinking through, we start with the author's big idea, and then there are theological big ideas we can develop from that, and then in a third way, going to like a message big idea, or how does this apply to me? And so I want to make sure that we're doing that due process of not just running to the word with, I'd say there are better questions and worse questions to run to the word with. And so, hey, what does this say about me and my current situation in 21st century America, as I work for a parachurch organization and raise MPD? Maybe not the best starting point, but the Bible obviously has so much to say for every situation in life for us. And so there's absolutely, you know, as we think about Hebrews 4:12, that the word is living and active. It speaks to us today still. It's applicable to us today. But we need to do that with these principles intact first and foremost. So hopefully that's a little bit of what you were looking for in that opening question.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of encouraging staff in the word, though, I think that time, just MPD is characterized by intense spiritual warfare. I see it all the time with staff. The devil is deceitful. The devil does not want more missionaries to join the field. And so seeing him lie to staff about who they are, their unworthiness in ministry, the fact that people don't want to partner with them, the fact that God isn't going to provide, he's going to bring up all of these lies in terms of MPD. And so that's why really from the start of becoming an MPD coach, I thought it just feels like it feels non-negotiable. It feels vital to have a component for time in the word when I'm meeting with my staff because of the spiritual warfare that they absolutely will be encountering during the MPD process.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I know from my experience, like when I'm experiencing spiritual warfare in particular, just like feeling bombarded with believing lies about myself and my identity, which I would say a lot of spiritual warfare ends up trying to attack our identity and cause us to not want to trust God or not believe his word. But in those moments, even though God's word is what I need, there also kind of can feel like a barrier to want to like, cause you know, you're feeling so down and et cetera, stuff like that. So I'm curious, like, how do you introduce this time with people you're coaching, especially those who really do feel like under the pile, and like, how do you kind of gently bring them back to truth when they are struggling with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's pretty important in some of those initial calls when you're meeting with either new staff or senior staff to build that rapport and just kind of introduce, hey, this is how I coach. This is one of my values. And I do ask like, hey, are you okay with that? I'm not going to force this upon you, but I created a set of 15 devotionals, and they're not just all about God's provision. Some of them definitely are, but I have stuff in there on ethics, theology proper, the process of salvation. And those are available if any coaches want to look at those are on the drive. If you're not an MPD coach, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to send those to you. I've just had some really wonderful time with a lot of new staff and senior staff walking through these devotionals, as maybe it is a struggle for them to be consistently in the word, but to have someone say, hey, I want to walk with you, shepherd you through some of these things and look at who our God is. And in light of who our God is and his vast love for us, we can draw great application about his provision for us, his care for us, even in difficult circumstances, even in circumstances where it seems counterintuitive. And maybe it feels like God isn't loving me right now. God isn't providing me what I need.
Wow. I'm noticing there that you you set the stage. It's in the context of your relationship with coaching, and you've really put a lot of thought to this. It's not like you're just like, I have a goal, I'm going to open the word and see where the page falls and stuff, but that you've really thought through and written some content that you're using. Can you tell us more about the process of like how you approached writing those devotionals and like kind of, I don't know, just maybe somewhere like how you put that together?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this came from personal struggles that I've walked through, or that Sarah and I have walked through, lies that Satan has told us about. And Michelle, I think you hit the nail on the head, our identity. Who we believe ourselves to be sometimes is different than finding our identity in Christ and in Christ alone. Yeah. And so I remember when I was initially raising MPD, I think I spent every day in Matthew 6, right? Do not be anxious. I read that chapter more than any other chapter in the Bible that year, bar none. And so that was one of my first devotionals that I wrote out. And then Romans 8 has been a hallmark for me as well, thinking through God's love for us, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of suffering, trials, persecution, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And what's been really cool, as I've been formulating some of these devotionals, Matthew uses this great argument from the lesser to the greater. He tells us, if God cares for birds, if God cares for the grass of the field, he's going to care for you. He provides for you. And Paul does the opposite thing, actually. In Romans 8, he provides an argument from the greater to the lesser. And Paul says that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously with Christ give us all things? So if our God loves us enough to even send Jesus Christ to die for us, and yet he loves us also more than the birds and the grass, it's like, that means that anywhere in between those two things, like, God perfectly meets us and loves us.
David, I'm wondering, like, as you're talking, I'm encouraged by what you're saying. I'm like, can you just do the devotionals with me? but I am wondering, like, say you're coaching someone, you're past those first 15 weeks, like, you've gone through your 15 devotionals, maybe they've been on support for a year, year and a half, a long time, or even maybe even senior staff entering back in, and they're exhausted. Do you ever, like, reapproach these 15 devotionals? Are there other passages you go through? Because I feel like you're in different, like, the first few weeks, right? There's still some excitement and some, you know, like, oh yeah, that's right, that's true, yeah, okay. But I can see, like, a staff who's, you know, further along, maybe more discouraged, like, okay, yeah, I know that's true, but also this is where I'm at. And so how do you approach staff that feel, I guess, just like, have been in it for a long time? Do you ever go back to those 15 devotionals, or do you have do you approach the word differently with them?
A lot of times for staff where it takes longer with them, and, you know, maybe I've been tracking with them for over a year, year and a half, I'll just ask them what are some of the lies they're believing, what would be encouraging for them. And with, you know, a lot of the classes that I've taken, I think I have a wealth of knowledge where I can kind of think, okay, this book of the Bible might be helpful, I'll just randomly go here. And so I don't have, you know, I have other devotionals that I've done with staff, but they just aren't published. It's more on a one-to-one basis. But one of the things that our team has done, and I've actually really appreciated, once we've kind of gotten to coaching a staff for over a year, we trade off coaches, and that's been really helpful, just so that there's a new, fresh perspective as well. Because I am far from the perfect coach. I'm not going to give everyone exactly what they need. And so it can be really great to pass them off to my other teammates who are just incredibly qualified, great, godly. I was going to say people, they're all women. It's me and I and a team of about six or seven women. So these ladies are fantastic. And I think that they just have so many gifts that are different than mine that I think, okay, you know, once we hit that year, really to a year and a half, like, you need a different voice. You need someone else to walk through this with you. And they're going to be able to point them to who God is and point them to the word in ways that I might not come naturally to me.
I feel like something I'm hearing from you too, and maybe it's because of your pursuing of your degree, like, it sounds like you just have a lot of scripture memorized, and you know what scriptures you're going to go to. And I I feel somewhat convicted. I'm like, okay, as a coach, like, yeah, like having a vault of scripture, even just as a believer, right? To mm-hmm. be like, okay, I'm noticing I'm believing this lie. Because, oh, okay, the enemy does, you know, give mm-hmm. you lies, not an MPD, right? It doesn't have to be right.
Yeah, it goes but, beyond this. And that's really what I've been passionate about, Katie, mm-hmm. thinking how can I equip staff so that, because once you hit and report again, there might just be different lies. There's still going to be difficulties in ministry, in life. And so to have you be centered in the word during a really sensitive time where you're also isolated, mm-hmm. I want to provide that basis so that when they step onto campus and have difficult situations that they enter into, they feel confident and firm in their belief in scripture and its mm-hmm. Application in their lives.
Yeah.
I love that.
That reminds me of something that we do talk about a lot, that like MPD is ministry. And I think we can add to that, that, you know, MPD is, it's not just this thing that you, it's like a formula or something you just, whatever, but this is it's spiritual. It's a place where we're exercising faith. It's a place of, dependence on the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a task that, as much as we are a high training community in the crew world for sure. And that training is good, but we can't just train you and you try to do this apart from the Holy Spirit. And so it's congruent to see how encouragement from God's word is really central to just flourishing and continuing in success in this endeavor.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, I'm forgetting the reference right now, but one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the words of Jesus. And I just think of the ministry there, it's like, yeah, I want to keep the word in front of our staff so that, you know, when they are tempted, when they feel faithless, like the Spirit will remind them of truth.
Mm-hmm. Good. I love that. So, what advice do you have for, I'm going to ask you this question in like a couple different iterations. Okay. But my first is like for MPD coaches, because we do have a lot of MPD coaches that listen. What's your advice for MPD coaches who are wanting to, do more to encourage staff in the word? Like, where would you tell them to start? What would you tell them to do?
Yeah, I think just broaching the subject, hey, would you mind if we spent some time in the word on every call? And I've really formulated the devotionals so that they can be about 15, 20 minutes. I don't want it to take up the whole call. We absolutely mm-hmm. need to address MPD. We need to connect, talk with them, see how they're doing, play that supervisor role as well. And so I try to keep them short. They're about 4 or 5 questions and they don't take a ton of time, but just making sure that you're carving some time out in your calls, I think, is really important. It's a great first step. But I was even thinking through a few resources too. And so there's the For You commentary series is really great. And so encouraging staff, you know, it's very relatable and it has this great triad of head, heart, hands. It's not just all really, you know, hey, we're going to look at the original Hebrew and parse everything out for, no, it's really attainable, which is nice. There's another series called Knowing the Bible that's through Crossway, edited by J.I. Packer. It's nice, just really thin books on every single book of the Bible. And it kind of guides you through time in the Word. There's a great little like theological sounding section, connections to Christ in every single book. And it has about 7 or 8 questions per chapter for everything. And so I feel like those are resources that I continue to go to to help me craft things. But I also throw those out to all of my staff that I coach and say, hey, this is just going to be a great addition to your time in the Word. It'll help guide you through the Word, help you understand it more, appreciate it more, apply it in your life as well. And so I think you can kind of go about that two ways, right? There's, hey, I want to grow as a coach. Here are some good resources. Or also, okay, here for my people that I'm coaching, this might supplement your time in the Word and help that be a little bit more effective as well.
And we can link those in the show notes, the resources that David is talking about. So if anyone listening wants to check those out, they'll be linked in our show notes.
Yeah, which miraculously and magically shows up in every podcast app. And we are in all the places. So that's helpful.
Okay. One other thing that I'd love to mention too, is just thinking through prayer and the importance of prayer in this season of MPD. And so one of the first things that I have everyone that I work with do is create a team of 1 to 5 people who will pray for them really persistently, maybe even daily. And so this is like your closest 1 to 5 people, like parents, best friends, people who are really going to go to the mat for you. Because as we experience disappointment, distance from the Lord, to have those 5 people who, you know, are in your corner praying persistently for you is really vital for you to feel encouraged and see success. But then with those 1 to 5 people, I want them reaching out every week. And so these are not your typical prayer letter partners where you're sending them a monthly update, which is really good. But I want to, you know, higher accountability if they're going to be praying for you about every day. Okay, send them a text or a quick email. Hey, how can I be praying for you? And I think that gives you some freedom. I think in prayer letters, it's hard to feel just like, oh, I can be completely candid about everything. But with this small group of 1 to 5 people, yeah, you can be really honest about feeling disillusioned with MPD. You can be really honest about feeling disappointed and distant from God. And so to know that people are praying for you, I think that's been a really great factor for all of my staff.
That's cool. That's a really good word and good advice, I think, to give. Okay, so I wanted to ask you to just to maybe speak to the people who are listening who are in MPD right now. And I know that you've coached people who are in disappointing or feeling distant from God moments, and you've had those too, you know? And so what would be like one step that somebody could take today if they are finding themselves, I'm hearing all this talk about getting in the Word, but I'm also just feeling so discouraged and overwhelmed. Like, what's just one step that person could do today?
I would say faith is a gift. Desire is a gift. These aren't things that we can create in and of ourselves. I can't just force myself to feel more faithful or excited about connecting with the Lord in His Word. Mm-hmm. And so if there's just even a small first step you can take, pray that the Lord would increase your faith. Pray that He would give you desire and trust to even take some of those baby steps. And I mean, Sarah and I have walked through some really hard things. I get that. Like, it can feel difficult and even painful to take a baby step of faith and say, okay, I'm everything in my life feels like this is a really dangerous move to open up again and trust you, Lord, but I'm going to do that. And so just pray for that desire that He would cultivate that and foster that in your heart, because you need God's work through the Holy Spirit in your heart to actually allow you to take those steps.
Oh, what a good word. I appreciate that, David. And I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for joining us today. We will link in the show notes all these different resources we mentioned. Yeah, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you again for having me.